It's going to be this week we're going to talk about anxiety. Then next week we're going to talk about rebellion. And then the following week, Pastor Steve is going to preach because I will be away. And then when I come back, we're going to get right into 1st and 2nd Peter. And we're going to study through 1st and 2nd Peter through till probably about the summer. It'll probably take 15 or 16 weeks to get through those two books. So that's kind of where we're going. Right now we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. It's on page 811 in the Church Bible. And we're going to start there, but first I'm going to open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord. I thank you that that you love us and you serve us. And I just pray, Lord, now that as we discuss this faith problem of anxiety that we might be dealing with in our life, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to help our focus to be solely on you. Lord, I pray that you would just minimize any distractions from this room or from our minds that keep us from paying close attention to who you are and what you've done. I'm just thankful again for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I've started every sermon in this whole series is I've defined faith just so everybody is on the same page. And Hebrews 11:1 actually defines faith for us as this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So in other words, faith is a confidence that what you believe is actually true. And you feel so attached to that belief system that it actually impacts the way that you live. So a faith problem is something that's standing in the way of you believing that truth or actually acting on that truth. So that's what we've been dealing with. And today, as I stated before, the faith problem that we're going to deal with is something called anxiety. Now, anxiety, by definition, is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. So according to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are actually the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting more than 40 million adults, which is about 18% of the population. Anxiety disorders, they say, are highly treatable, yet only one-third of those suffering receive treatment for it. This is not really what I'm talking about. I will talk more about anxiety in the common form of worry. But, you know, some of you might struggle with a mental disorder called anxiety, and you might actually need to see a doctor about that. What I'm going to talk about this morning probably will help you because it's from God's word and it's rooted in God's word. It's actually Jesus' words. But what we also have to remember is for most people, anxiety could actually affect our health. In recent studies, they said excess worry or ongoing fear or anxiety is harmful when it becomes so irrational that you can't focus on reality and think clearly in life. People with high anxiety, this is in a study, have difficulty shaking their worries, and what happens is that they might experience some actual physical symptoms if they continue on that road of worry. I don't know if you knew this, but men and women actually worry about different things. Albert Einstein said this, "Women always worry about the things that men forget, and men always worry about the things that women remember," okay? So that's right from Albert Einstein. But you know what? Worry can affect our health, and the Bible actually supports that. Proverbs 12:25 says this, "Anxiety in a person's heart weighs them down, but a good word makes him glad." So what I want to do this morning is I want to share some good words with you from Jesus in hopes that you won't suffer from worry or anxiety any longer. So in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, this is Jesus' actual words. This is Jesus' teaching that he teaches us about worry. So what I've done is I picked out six reasons why Jesus tells us not to worry. Six reasons not to worry based upon Matthew 6, 25 through 34. So the first reason is going to be found in verses 25 through 26, and it's this. God cares about the details. God cares about the details. Let's look at verse 25 in Matthew chapter 6. It says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Jesus starts by telling us not to worry about food or clothing or the work that's involved in acquiring those things. And here's the reason why. He's saying, listen, I take care of the birds of the air. Aren't you of more value than they? And I know we live in a society where, you know, the equality between animals and people seem to be like getting closer together than they should. But let me just tell you this. Okay, we are the only ones that are image bearers of God. So if God is saying, I care about these birds, which in another scripture, he says, they're not much value at all. Don't worry. I have the details. I have the details in your life. If I care for them, if they're able to be fed and taken care of day in and day out, you are so much more value than they are. Well, let me just tell you this. Being that God is the creator, he created us. But not only that, he actually saved us. Do you know that God cares so much about the details of your life that he knew that you had the biggest problem that you might have not even realized that you had? Well, I'm here to tell you this. The Bible tells us what our biggest problem is. And our biggest problem is the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. But we know that God cares about the details because that's why Jesus came to this earth. Jesus came to this earth to die and pay the price for my sins and for your sins. And the Bible's clear when it says this, all who believe will have eternal life. So the Bible's clear when it says that he cares about the details of your life. He wants to save you. He wanted to save you. And the Bible says that all who believe will have eternal life. So it's so important to realize this. God cared enough to create you. He cared enough to save you. So know this. He cares enough to look at the details of your life and take care of the details of your life. See, oftentimes we worry because we have this idea that God's far off. Like God made everything and then just threw it out there and he's just like, oh, let's see what happens. No, that's not the God that we love and that's not the God that we serve. The God that we love and serve actually cares about the details. So we have no reason to worry about the details. So God does care if you're happy. He cares if you're unhappy. He cares if you're struggling at work. He cares if you're having a difficult time parenting. He cares about your grades if you're a younger person. He cares if your marriage is on the rocks. He cares if you're not married and want to be married. He cares about all those things. He's intimately involved in all those things. Do you know how I know this? The Bible tells us in Matthew 10:30. Some of you might remember this verse, but even the very hairs of your head are numbered. You know what that tells us? That he cares about every single detail in your life. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that God is far off, that he doesn't care about the minuscule little details of your everyday life, because he does. He cares where you work. He cares what you talk about. He cares who you hang out with. He cares how you treat other people. He cares about all those things. So knowing that, we have to realize that when Jesus says, don't worry, this is why. He's saying, I got it. Okay? So what do we do? What do we do? Because you know what? I can come up here and say, God cares about all the details of your life, but is that going to change you? Are you going to go home and not worry now? Well, I hope so. But here's what 1 Peter 5:7 says. It says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So what he's saying is, because I care for you, you don't have to worry about those things. Because I care for you, you can throw them at me, and I got the details. Okay? I'm going to make sure that everything works out the way that I see fit. The second thing we find in this passage is that worry is a waste of time. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6:27. He says, and which of you, by being anxious, could add a single hour to his span of life? So now, the next thing we learn is worry from the mouth of Jesus is a waste of time. It's more harmful than it is helpful. Some people fall into the trap of thinking, I only worry because I care a lot. And listen, I know you care, okay? I know you care, and I care as well. But there's a difference between caring and worrying. And what Jesus is saying is when you worry, you're actually wasting that day away. You're wasting the time that you could be using for something else. Someone once said this, excuse me, I remember the old man who said that he had had great many troubles in life, but the worst of them never happened. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about somebody that sat around and worried about all the things that could happen, but actually never did happen. I mean, how many times have you done that in life? You worry, and then it doesn't happen, and you're like, duh, that was stupid. Why did I worry about that? And Jesus is saying, it is. You can't add a minute or an hour or a day or a month or a year or a week to your life by worrying. It's not productive. It's actually a waste of your time. So what do we do? What do? We have maybe some issues, some things that we desire to worry about or we just happen to worry about. And here's what I would suggest. If there really is a problem or something to worry about, what you should do is this. Try to solve the problem. Ask yourself this. Is there anything that I could do to help this go away? And guess what? If the answer is no, then don't worry about it. It's a waste of time. If you can't solve the problem, stop wasting your time thinking about the problem. If you can't stop what's going on, stop wasting your time thinking about what's going on or worrying about what's going on. The next reason to not worry is found in verses 28 through 30, and it's this: God provides for those that trust him. I'll read verse 28. It says, and when you are anxious about, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Excuse me. Now God is saying this. Jesus now asks this question. Okay, let's look at the flowers. Okay, I already told you about the birds, who you're more valued. Let's look at the flowers and the grass of the field and how beautiful I've made them. Then he says, even Solomon, the wisest guy who walked the face of this earth except for Jesus, even Solomon in all his splendor did not look as beautiful as my creation, those little flowers and the grass. And he's pointing to them and he's saying, you know what? I took care of them. I think I'll take care of you as well. I think I'll take care of you as well. I'll provide for those who trust. He provided for Solomon because he trusted. But why do we really worry, though? I mean, really what it comes down to is we don't like uncertainty. And that's what happens. When we're not trusting God, we're actually living in something called uncertainty. And we worry because we don't like uncertainty. We like to be in control of things. We like to know the outcome of things. We like to be in charge of things. We like to have everything planned out, don't we? Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we like all these things. So when we can't have that, we start to worry about it. We start to worry about it. And what God is saying here is, like, what Jesus is saying here is, listen, I'm going to take care of that. Not only am I going to take care of the details, I don't want you to waste your time on it, but I'm going to provide for those of you who trust me. Look at the flowers, this menial little things on this earth that I've taken care of. I'm going to take care of you as well. So what do? Psalm 55, 22 says this, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Another verse like 1 Peter, casting your burden. So it's the idea for a Christian to say, okay, I'm holding on to this. I'm worrying about it. I'm overthinking this. I'm spending way too much time on this. I'm wasting time on this. Here's what I need to do. I need to cast that on the Lord, and he's going to sustain me. So he's going to bring me through this. So what you do as a Christian is you accept uncertainty. You accept that he is in control and you're not in control. You accept all these things and just say, you know what? If God is who he said he is, that loving God who served me and saved me and made me, then it's only, my only option is to really just trust him with it, is trust him with him and just say, you know what? This is what I need to do. This is what I need to do today. I need to actually accept the fact that I'm not in control. I need to accept the fact that there is uncertainty before me. You know what? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, are we? We don't know what's going to happen. Now I made you worry even more. Okay, you're like, oh no. Well, the thing is, guess what? That's the reality. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach you. He's trying to teach me and you the same thing. Accept this stuff. Trust me with it. But then he goes on in verses, the end of verse 30 to verse 32. And it's worry displays a lack of faith. The end of verse 30 says this. O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So now the next thing he's saying is this. Jesus says, you have little faith. And he just confronts them. He says, you of little faith. You don't understand me. You don't understand what I'm doing. And I'm not going to say that worry is the opposite of faith, because it's not. Okay? Worry is not the opposite of faith, but it is something that stands in the way of having a vibrant faith. Notice he says the Gentiles seek after these things. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the unbelievers. He's talking about people that don't believe. He said this is the way they live. They chase after everything. They chase after things. And what he is saying to us is this. Don't live like people who are not believers. Don't live like the non-Christians. They worry about different stuff than you should even be concerned with. You need to act like a Christian. You need to focus on the things that I want you to focus in on. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, sorrow looks back, worry looks around, and faith looks up. The idea for the Christian is this. We want to have this strong, vibrant faith that looks up towards the Lord. So how do we do that, though? How do we do that? Well, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 actually helps us. And really, it's telling us this. Manage your worry through prayer. See, I don't want to belittle anything that you're going through. Some of you might be worried about how much money is going to come in this month or this week. Some of you might be worried about what's going to happen with my kid. They're just always disobedient. Some of you might be worried about what's going to happen with my marriage. It seems like it's not going to be saved. What's going to happen with my health? I'm scared. I don't want to belittle any of those things because, you know, those are true, real things going on in your life. But here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, take those things to me. Okay? So manage your worry through prayer. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what I love about this verse? We can kind of explain it, but we really can't explain it. And here's what I mean. Okay, he's saying, here's what the verse says. He's saying, okay, take your worry and pray about it. You take your worry and pray about it. Don't be anxious about it. So what I would suggest is anytime you're in prayer, anytime you start to worry, wherever you are, just stop and say, you know what? Instead of worrying about this, I'm going to talk to the Lord about this. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm worried about this. And you need to take that away from me. Lord, I need you to help me to focus in not on this, but on something else. Lord, I need you to help me to solve this problem if there is a solution in my power, if you're going to give me the power to do it. So you spend time in prayer. Rather than worrying, you talk to the Lord about it. And then here's what happens. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So all of a sudden now, this peace comes over you. Can you understand it? No. The Bible says you can't. I can't explain it to you. I can't say, well, here's what the peace feels like, okay? Here's how you're going to get. I can't, because the Bible actually says it surpasses all understanding. God's going to show up and do something in your heart that you can never even imagine. And here's why. Because you took that worry and that lack of faith and said, you know what, instead of holding on to this, instead of obsessing over it, instead of overthinking about it, instead of my mind wandering about it, I brought it to the throne of grace and asked the Lord to help me through it. I'll tell you what, I believe it because I've done it so many times. I'm embarrassed when I don't do it. I feel ashamed of myself before the Lord when I continue to worry rather than doing this. But you know what? More than not, I find myself taking the scripture's advice and saying, you know what, I just got to talk to Jesus about this because he knows everything about it. He knows it better than I know it. He's going to work with it. He's going to deal with it. He's going to help me through it. So worry displays a lack of faith. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't act like the people that don't have faith. You used to act like that. Don't act like that anymore. But then, the next thing, the fifth thing he teaches us in Matthew 6:33 is this. Worry keeps us from our purpose. Let's look at verse 33. It says this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So now he's saying, seek first. Here's the chief purpose. If you're missing anything here, here's the chief purpose of every Christian. It's to bring glory to Jesus. That's why you're here. The reason why you're taking the next breath that you're going to take is to bring glory to Jesus. That's why. So worry keeps us from that purpose because there's no way that we can bring glory to Jesus if we're spending our time worrying. H.A. Ironside said this, we would worry less if we praised more. You get that? We would worry less if we praise more. What he's saying is, if you focus on the Lord, you're not going to worry as much. And that's your purpose. See, worry, our main problem with worry, do you realize this, is that we're focusing in on ourselves. That's our main problem. That's why we worry about things. We're focusing in on ourselves. Even if you're worrying about, okay, my kids, okay, our finances, okay, my friend of mine's sick. Every time we worry, what we're doing is we're actually focusing our attention inwardly. We're worrying about how this is going to affect me. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to see this? How am I going to understand this? How am I going to help this? But when we actually throw the worry to God, what we're actually saying is, I want to keep my focus in on you. I want to keep my focus in on you. So if our chief purpose is to glorify God, when we spend time wasting time in worry, we're actually not bringing glory to God. But one of the things I love about this verse, and this is a very highly quoted verse, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Here's what he's saying. You get your life in order. You seek me first, I'm going to take care of the rest. You don't worry about that stuff. You don't worry about all those things. If you look at me for your purpose and your fulfillment in life, everything else is going to fall in place. Can I explain that to you? No, okay? But the scriptures tell us this. Elsewhere, it tells us this as well. Taking every thought captive to Christ Jesus. Looking at him for our main purpose. And then finally, in verse 34, it tells us this. Worry will not let us live for today. Let's look in verse 34. It says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Last thing we have to remember about worry is this. The sixth thing that Jesus tells us is this. If you worry today, you're not going to live for today. If you worry today, you're not going to live for today. Because you're worrying about things that might not happen. You're worrying about things that you might never see. You're worrying about a day that you might never have. Corrie ten Boom said it this way, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. It empties today of it. So basically, if you're overly worried or anxious about something that's coming up in the future, all you're doing is messing today up. That's all you're doing. You're just messing today up and what God has planned for you. You're letting opportunities pass. You're letting your purpose pass. You're wasting your time. You're displaying a lack of faith. You're telling him, I don't trust you with the details. All those things. So listen to me. Right from Jesus' mouth, we learn this. These are six reasons why we shouldn't worry. Let's not worry. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord. We know, Lord, that worry is probably one of the most difficult things that many of us struggle with. Overthinking, thinking too much about things that we have no control over. We admit, Lord, we don't like uncertainty. We admit, Lord, that we don't like not having control. But Lord, we need to find comfort in the fact that you are in control, that you love us, you care about the details, and you're going to take care of each thing in our life, no matter how great or small it is. I'm just thankful for all these people. I just pray, Lord, that these words will help them, not only today, but as the days go on, the weeks and the months, that they would focus their attention on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. So I'd like